Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, whatever you do, keep it spicy. Five-star ratings are appreciated. And if you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Yo, no matter how you slice it, it's Prime's time. I wanted to wait. I resisted the urge of having an emergency show on Saturday night and Sunday, and even on Monday, because I knew that the news cycle would be all Prime Time, all Colorado football all the time. I knew it would, but I also know that we are dangerously close to Thursday and that NFL is king, right? The NFL is going to be back. The NFL is king. And so I knew that people would quickly forget about what Colorado did. The people who were detractors, they're already trying to spin the win. Oh, well, TCU wasn't that good, right? That became the narrative out of those who didn't really buy into the hype, the Coach Prime hype. It became, oh, well, they're not that good. And that's why Colorado was able to win a close game. But see, here's the problem with that thought process, right? The problem with the thought process that TCU was not that good, it'll be proven true or false once we see TCU play against other teams, right? Once we see TCU go against other teams, we'll know really quickly if TCU is any good or whether the reason that Colorado was able to beat them is because they're not. But here's what we know for certain right now. We know for certain TCU went and hired one of the most up-and-coming and innovative offensive minds in football, according to all of you. Right? According to all of you, they went and hired an offensive mind to score points. Guess what they did? They scored points. TCU brought back eight, not three, not four, not five, but eight defensive starters. So that Colorado offense, regardless of what you might think about that Colorado offense was going up against the legitimate defense that went to the national championship. Because they brought back eight starters. They brought back a lot more of the guys who were the twos. Right? Because in a college football game, it's not just 11. This ain't high school. 11 people, they're not going to just rock the whole game. So they had the eight starters plus the backups that came back from a national championship team. I could argue that the quarterback they rolled out there was better than the quarterback for TCU last year. The only difference is people liked the quarterback from TCU last year because he was gritty. Oh, he's so gritty. He's so tough. What's he doing now if he was so good? He ain't making no money to play football, not in the NFL. So right there, we already see the narrative starting, but we can't let the narratives, we can't let those get off. We know for a fact that Coach Prime went out there with a team full of transfers, and everybody tried to make it seem as if he was the only one that was taking a whole lot of transfers. But if you look around college football, even at the blue blood programs, they're full of transfers. They're full of transfers. Then they said, well, you know, he got transfers, but he brought a bunch of HBCU kids. At every turn, it was there to discredit Prime and what he was trying to do. Oh, I watched him on film. They look small. Guess what? They are small. They don't just look small. They are small. When has size ever been a skill? Size has never been a skill. I watched 6 foot six and 6 foot five, 300 pound offensive linemen get done in by little dudes all the time. I watch big defensive linemen get blown off the ball by little dudes all the time. When has size ever been a skill if you don't know how to use your size? You could be a 6 foot four wide receiver. If you don't know how to high point a ball, it don't matter. Right? If you don't know how to use your size, it doesn't matter. So trying to act as if size is a skill is ridiculous. Now, do I think they need to get better up front, especially on the defensive line? Absolutely. You can't, because the Pac-12 is full of really good quarterbacks. They happen to mostly all look like me. It's great. But when you play against Washington State, if they play against Washington State, Cam Ward's a problem. When you play against Washington, Michael Penix is a problem. Shout out to Tampa. When you play USC, you got the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Clearly, he's a problem. Hell, up in Oregon, the white boy Bo Nix that didn't get it done at Auburn has found new life in Oregon, and he's going to be a problem up there. So if that defensive line can't get any pressure, and if they can't manufacture ways to get any pressure, Colorado's probably going to be in a lot of high-scoring games, and at some point, they're going to come up on the wrong end of it. This isn't a declaration that Colorado is now all of a sudden going to be a power. This isn't a declaration that Colorado is going to play for a national championship, because in my mind, that was never the win in year one. The win in year one was to show that Colorado was going to be a problem. And if you don't think they are going to be a problem, then you're just a hater. Shedeur Sanders, we've been telling people for years that Shedeur Sanders was the real deal. You know what y'all did? Y'all tried to hold where he was going to sign against him. Oh, well, before he went with his daddy to Jackson State, he was going to go to Florida Atlantic. That's not a top-tier program. Never mind that he had a relationship with the head coach and that he felt comfortable at that place with that head coach, that he didn't make a decision just based off name. His name is Sanders. He could have went anywhere in the country. You want to know how I know? Because everybody's son, who was a big name in the NFL, they just go wherever they want to go. There's a kid here in Savannah where I live, whose father played in the league, not even well-known, a well-known player in the league, unless you really know football. The only way you're going to know that his dad played in the league is if you really know football. He's getting Division I offers, and he is no better than some of the guys who I've seen come through here before him that never got a sniff at a D1 offer. NFL players' kids, if they can walk and chew gum and look good in some shoulder pads and a helmet, they're probably going to get a Division I offer. And if you're Coach Prime's son, you go wherever you want. Shiloh Sanders went to South Carolina. He didn't go to South Carolina State and transfer to Jackson State. He went to South Carolina. He was playing meaningful minutes as a freshman. So this idea that Coach Prime was playing daddy ball was something that they tried to put on him as another knock. But Shedeur Sanders is the real deal. And we told you he was the real deal for years. If you don't believe me, go to my name, put in Shedeur Sanders, see what I was saying about him years ago. The real deal. Doesn't matter what the level is. The same way that I thought that Cam Ward would come from Incarnate Word and ball out at Washington State, which he did. The same way I thought when Michael Penix got from underneath that oppressive offense in Indiana, where people didn't really believe in him, that he would ball out. Guess what? He did. And now, right? And now Shedeur Sanders is doing the same thing. He went from Jackson State where he annihilated. He annihilated the 1AA. Can somebody please explain to me when the last time you saw somebody who was the most dominant force at one level not be good when he moved up to the next level or when she moved up to the next level? Usually, when you're the best at one level, when you move up to the next level, you're still pretty damn good. You're still pretty darn good. So, we're going to have to deal with Colorado. And, hey, here's a little something for you bettors right now. Colorado is only -3 versus Nebraska. They're only a 3-point favorite at home, home opener at a stadium that's going to be rocking. They're playing Nebraska. Nebraska has to come to that elevation. And you're telling me they're not going to beat Nebraska by more than a touchdown? Or you're telling me that they're only going to beat Nebraska by 3 points? If you're a betting person, go ahead and slam your money on Colorado right now. I watched that Nebraska defense play against 3 yards in a cloud of dust. This is not 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I watched that Nebraska offense play. They might have more success. They might have more success, but they're not going to be able to score with Colorado. Because we haven't even seen what this Colorado offense is going to look like once you have them in elevation and these teams have to come to them with one day to get acclimated. It's going to be a problem. When it starts getting colder and the air is super thin, and Colorado, they're up there playing and practicing in that every day, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be an issue. You know what else is a problem? How nobody is calling out Joey Bosa about a holdout into the season. Nobody's calling out Jones from Kansas City for a holdout into the season. They're not even on franchise deals. Nobody's calling them out. They just want more money. And people are under the assumption that because they play defensive line, that they have more leverage than the running backs who held out did. But here's the difference, right? When Joey Bosa has missed time, San Francisco has still been successful. It's not like Joey Bosa or whatever, Nick Bosa. It might be Nick Bosa. My apologies, Nick Bosa. But when you missed time, the 49ers weren't trash. They just kept it moving. Now, Jones is a different story because when he's not in that defense looks different. But why nobody clamoring to just replace them? Why nobody's clamoring to just go move on that you shouldn't pay those guys that type of money? What does 15 sacks guarantee you in a season? If you have a defensive player capable of getting 15 to 20 sacks in a season, what does it guarantee you as a football team? Do the math. 15 sacks in a season is a career year. That's less than a sack a game. Somebody please explain to me the difference that 0.6, 0.7 sacks a game is going to make to your season if everything else isn't already great. But if everything else is already great, can't you just duplicate those 15 sacks with three other dudes? So why have we overvalued defensive ends, edge rushers, defensive tackles? See, if we want to get into the value game, we can get in the value game, but nobody ever really gets into it. They only ever point out the things that are easily quantifiable, which is like a running back's position. Oh, well, he rushed for this amount of yards on these carries, and if we replace him, we can get two people to rush for that amount of yards. You can do the same thing defensively. You can do the same thing defensively. When you have a defensive end and you lose him, the thing isn't to try to replace that defensive end with one person. Not immediately. The thing is to try to replace that defensive end with multiple people. Get a veteran that might get you 5 to 6. Get you a rookie that might get you 5 to 6. Get you a rookie that might get you a mid-level guy that might get you 5 to 6. If I get 3 guys and I only have to pay like $10 million for the 3 and they give me 15 sacks, why should I care if one person gives me 15 sacks for $20 million a year? But we don't think that way anywhere else except for at the running back position. That's the only place we ever do it. And it's sad because we could play these math gymnastics everywhere. We can do these things everywhere, but we don't. We only do them when it comes to the running backs. We only make that type of assumption or that type of guesstimation. We only extrapolate those numbers out when it's the running backs. And that's unfair because running backs are taking a lot of punishment. That's why you say quarterbacks are worth that. Well, they got to do so much. Running backs have to do a lot. When he's not running the ball, he has to block. When he's not blocking the running balls, he has to pause. That's crazy. When he's not blocking or running the football, he has to run routes. Where is the time where he just gets to chill? Guess what happens every time a quarterback hands the ball off? He does nothing. When he hands the ball off, that's it. So if you run the ball 30 times out of 70 plays, then 30 and with people other than the quarterback, then that's 30 times in the game where he just gets to hand it off and stand there and watch. You've long heard me say that if the quarterback is one of your running backs, then he should be paid for both, right? So I'm not talking about those guys, but you don't even want to pay those guys. Those are the guys you don't want to pay either. It's crazy to me. What else is crazy, but I love it, is when I heard that Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, was giving the publishing back to his artists from back in the day. I applauded it. I thought it was great. And people like, oh, it's a start. Well, what else you want the man to do? He didn't break any laws, right? He didn't break any laws. He didn't tell people to sign bad deals. He did what he thought was the right thing because somebody taught him that was the right thing. And now with more information, and probably with love for those people, hey, here's your stuff back. I've made enough money off of it. I can make money other ways. Here, you do you. So applause to him. Applause to him. And I hope all those artists, your Face, your Mace, you know, all the Locks, all, I hope they do great things with that publishing. I hope that can make them money that they can then move on from generation to generation. I hope it creates generational wealth. You know what else I love? I love looking at the Baltimore Ravens quarterback room. With all due respect, it is fly to look at a quarterback room with all brothers in it. The quarterback coach is a black man. The assistant coach passing is a black man. The starting quarterback, the backup quarterback, the third string quarterback, the quarterback on the practice squad, they're all black. And they're not just black for the sake of being black, right? They actually fit the mold of the type and style of play that they want their quarterback to do. That just makes sense to me. I'm walking around here looking at Buffalo, wondering why Matt Barkley is the backup for Josh Allen. Matt Barkley don't do what Josh Allen do. Right? But it's good. I put a fist up when I see Baltimore. If you're a brother out here, it's hard to not root for the Ravens. Yeah, you got your teams, right? I'm a Buccaneers fan, but I can't root for Baker Mayfield. He's not my type of football player. The way he acts, how he is on a football field, his appropriation of culture. Like, I can't rock with Baker Mayfield. But I'm a Bucs fan, right? I'm a Bucs fan. But over in the corner of my eye, I'm looking at the Ravens, and I'm like, man, they look good. I'm like a guy in a relationship that's not going well. I'm just looking at all those options out there. And I keep looking at the Ravens like, that should be my new boo. Like, I should replace this one I'm with and get with her over there. Like, that's how I feel right now. I'm just being honest. Like, there's nothing about Tampa Bay that gets me excited. Not the defense, not the offense, not the head coach, not the offensive coordinator they brought in. The GM and how he's drafted when everybody was saying he was so great. And I'm looking around at these draft picks going, where's the impact at? It's hard to be a Buccaneers fan right now. But luckily, I can cheat on the Bucs. Luckily, I can cheat on the Bucs and root for the Ravens. I ain't finna be out here putting on jerseys on and nothing like that. But they got a lot that I love about that team. It's a lot that I love about that team. And the number one thing is when I look at that quarterback room, yeah, it's a beautiful thing to watch them work. It's a beautiful thing to watch them work. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Do this thing a few times a week. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. And if you join me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Till next time, peace.